This is My Better Half on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. When Miwa Aoki Russell became a parent, she started questioning the career she had fought so hard to build, one she had dreamed of since childhood in Japan, being a commercial pilot. Today's episode isn't about flying, though. It's about what happens when our long-held ambitions no longer fit, how Miwa navigated self-doubt, family needs, and a leap into something radically new, professional baking. Welcome, Miwa.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me here.
Your story is one of midlife reinvention. Start by telling me about the first part of your life in Japan and what kind of upbringing you had, because I'm curious especially if your ambitions were supported.
Yes, I was born and raised in Japan. And when I was very, very little, like 3 or 4 years old, I'm always look up in the sky over the house, and I see the big airplane flying over. And I always wonder those airplanes, where they are going. And having my, you know, family member living overseas, I always like was told by my mom, if you ride those airplanes, I get to see my aunts and uncles and cousins. And just, you know, growing up the small city or small town, that made me, you know, starting like romance of study abroad or going away from small towns. And that's how I started interested in airplanes to begin with.
Then a romantic notion.
Yeah, like a romantic idea of like these airplanes taking me away from ordinary life, you know, the small tiny village, and meeting different people, different cities. And it just gave me a lot of like, I don't know, like beautiful imaginations. And that's the very, very beginning of my interesting in aviation industries. But honestly, the way I became a pilot is one of the big driving. The original idea was that my grandfather, he told me he wanted to be a pilot during World War II. And he couldn't be a pilot because he was chubby and his eyesight was bad. And I'm glad he didn't become a pilot because he probably ended up, you know, not doing well during the war. But he told me about that. And then the reason I mentioned about Grandpa was the he was well-known, well-established businessman in a small village where I grown up. And everybody respect him so much. But one thing my grandpa couldn't achieve was he couldn't be a pilot. So I was like, I was very little, and I was telling myself, grandpa couldn't become a pilot. What if I become a pilot? I overachieve him? Like, I overcome him? Like, that? I just thought that something like ambition started growing in me. And I'm the oldest in the family, but I was kind of like a female. And female status back then was that I really probably couldn't take over the business, maybe. And so I was like, wanted to prove somebody that, like him, that everybody respect, maybe approval as me growing up. Maybe I can accomplish something that my grandpa couldn't do it. So that's not the, you know, 100% everything that I wanted to be a pilot, but that's a major, I remember the feeling of, wanted to become a pilot. So that's how I started ambition in Japan. Then time passed. I start, you know, in high school. Time to time, I mentioned that I want to be a pilot, but nobody really believed in me. Like, everybody thought I was joking. And when I was 16, time to choose the college. And I told my teacher that I want to be a pilot. And she told me that, you need to take your life seriously. I was very serious, but the teacher didn't think so. And my parents, they never said no to anything to me. But once again, I grown up the city where I don't think not many pilots are around us. And my parents probably didn't know what to tell me, what to advise, how to become a pilot. And they just made me thinking, my dream would just kind of faded away. I don't know. But I have to take an initial act because nobody helped me and nobody gave me any idea. And back then, once again, we didn't have internet. So I information that I gather was very limited. I have to go library, trying to find how to become a pilot, but we don't have any book guiding me how to do it. We have a self-defense for military kind of in Japan, but they don't accept the female. So I was looking for the school possible, the flight school, that they might accept me. We only have one aviation college in Japan back then. So I called when I was 16, requesting applications. And the guy answered the phone, and he said, he was very confused because I'm a girl. And he said, we don't have a female bathroom on campus. Oh. And that's when I started realizing, we don't have a female pilot in Japan. We didn't have female pilots back then, 1994. So that's like a very open-eye moment for me. I really want to be a pilot, but how am I going to be a pilot? Like, nobody know. And I don't know. I kind of feel lost that moment. And but life is very interesting to me and has been very good to me at the same time. There is a one newspaper article about the one lady who just came back study abroad from States. She just got the license being a pilot in America. And she's the first female Japanese pilot. But she only got the small, tiny Cessna license. But it was a big deal for Japanese society. And she started working nearby my town as a maybe survey patrol pilot or something like that, small, tiny Cessna. But anyway, I grabbed onto that article, and I skipped the class on that day. You know, I told my mom I'm going to go high school, but I skipped the school that day, and I took the local bus, and without appointment or anything, once again, there's no cell phone back then. I just know the name of the company that she worked for, and I just took the bus 2 hours, and I went to the local airport. And knocked the door in high school uniform. And all the male employee look at me and say, how can I help you? And high school girls, you know, being here at the airport.
And just to set the scene, I'm imagining you in a crisp white shirt and a little skirt.
Yes.
Your hair might be in a ponytail. Yeah. And you say hello.
Exactly. That's exactly how I looked like that back then when I was 16. And I'm probably looks very nervous and probably looks pale, almost vomited. Then I just quickly ask, I read this article about this first female pilot in Japan, and I like to meet her. And everybody look at me and say, she is just about landed, so she should be back in the office soon. So my heart was pounding, and she show up, and she look at me, what are you doing here? And I say straight to her, excuse me, my name is Miwa, and I want to be a pilot. I want to be like you. And she grabbed me. She took me to her office. This is something you never imagine what she did. She closed the door, and she told me, I do not recommend it. That's the first word she said.
How did you feel in that moment? Did your heart fall?
No, that's something I didn't expect she was going to say.
Right.
So I just froze that moment. Like, I didn't understand what's going on. I thought she was going to say, encourage me. She was going to say, this is an amazing job, amazing industry. This is something that I totally recommend you to become a pilot. It's amazing, awesome view. No, she told me, being a pilot in Japan as a female, it's terrible. She said, nobody understands the female needs. Like, for example, I don't know if I can say it in the radio, but female have to go bathroom often.
I'll attest to that.
So she said nobody understood her, so the male can just do things and maybe...
In a bottle.
Here we go. Yeah. But female are not like that. So, but in the long flight, summertime, you know, we drink a lot of water in the cockpit, but nobody let her take a break for their landings and to go to bathroom or something. She's talking about all the hardships that I was going to go face, just like her. And she wants to protect me probably. But so she said, I would not recommend to do it at all. That was it. That was a conversation, maybe 10 minutes of conversation. I took all the way from my home station, the bus station, 2 hours bus ride to get there. And all she did was like kind of discourage me. So I walk around the airport feeling lost because I had a huge excitement to get this airport to talk to her. Now I don't know where to go to, like who to ask for, who to rely on to, or am I really doing the right choice to become a pilot? Or I just felt very lost. But I remember very, very much that big 747 landing on top of me, because I was just walking along the fence of the airport and the runway is next to me. Huge jet engine blasting and landing, squeaky noise. And I just got so excited just looking at it. And you just knew that moment, like, this is something I wanted to be part of, you know? This is like amazing. This metal, huge, heavy metal in the sky. First of all, how that happened? Like, I want to know. I wasn't really a science girl, but I just ambitious, you know, about anything, something that you like, that but you don't know, you wanted to know.
Yeah, you wanted to learn the physics about
Physics about it. And, you know, it just drives me crazy about, like, imagine myself flying, going somewhere else, and be part of this industry. That was like never faded out after I talked to her. And so I was walking towards the bus station. Okay, Miwa, what's the next step? She told me I shouldn't be a pilot, so she's out. She cannot help me. Who can help me? So I look around my peer, and once again, nobody pilots. So my parents, they don't know anything. Teacher, they told me to not become a pilot and think serious about my life. And so, but I was missing one very important person in my life, my grandfather. Not the grandfather that wanted to be a pilot. My father's side grandpa, he was a mayor back then, my hometown. He has a vision about the world. Like, he always talking about the outside of box. He always talking about the international visions, not to stay in the small town. Think about, you know, outside of town, outside of city, outside of prefecture, outside of Japan. You know, think about more like a, you know, universe, you know, that kind of talk he always talk about. So simply when I get home, I went straight to grandpa asking, so this is what happened. I went to talk to her. Don't tell my mom I skipped the school, but, you know, and he started laughing. He's like, so then what? And she told me not to do it. And he said, and what? He keeps saying, and what? So eventually I said to him, so should I quit? And he said, yeah, you should. And I was like, you too, grandpa? You disencourage me? And he said, no, because I'm telling you that choosing the path that nobody chooses is very hard to do. And then you simply giving up just because one person tell you to not do, I can see you're not going too far. That's what my grandpa told me. I was 16. It was a hard word for me. But I remember he knows who I was. He know my character. And oh my God, he pushed me so hard. He was very fighting, like, you know, very interesting way. He said, if you really want to be a pilot, why are you staying here? Why you have to stay in Japan? Do you know anything about outside of Japan? There's so many female pilots out there. And I said, are you serious? And he said, there is 3,000 some female pilots, or more probably, in America. That was 1994.
That's what you needed to hear.
Oh my God, yes. 3,000 plus female pilots. And he said, probably more, you know, that's just the professional, commercial level. And if you want to find just, you know, being a pilot, female pilot, there's more than that probably. So I don't know where he that get those numbers. Probably he BS me. I don't know.
But it worked.
It worked so much. I was wide open. And I said to grandpa, America. Okay, all right, I can do this. And he was like, next one he said was like, Dad, you need to study English. and I said to him, are you serious? Because I wasn't really good student and I didn't study English. English was one of the least favorite for me. Like I was like, I was speaking perfectly Japanese, and why do I have to speak English? That kind of attitude, you know? I was more like into sports and not really in a study girl. So I was kind of like, you know, telling my grandpa, I don't want to study English, you know, just like another teenager that like, I was comparing. He was like, once again, if you said that, I don't think you're going to go far, you know? Every time you have some kind of obstacle, first thing you do is negative word. And remember, choosing the path that nobody choose is hard enough that you need to drive in yourself to be positive all the time, because everybody gonna put you down, everybody gonna drag you down, everybody gonna tell you the negative thing. Only person who is gonna save you from that kind of the negative energy is you. And all you can do is you can control yourself. So just keep being positive, positive, positive. And that's the moment that changed my life. I really think, back then, I really didn't like what he said. But now, I look back, and he was giving the best advice that I can get from anybody. So I'm very, very thankful for that.
Then he was testing your strength, it sounds like. Yeah.
Big time. Yeah, he knows who I was. He knows my weakness and strengths. And he's the person believing me first time. Before even try my path to become a pilot. I haven't really talked about my life about the pilot, because right now everybody asking about the baking. So I used to be a public speaker and did a lot of like a Girl Scout speakings and those kind of stuff. This is a wonderful opportunity for me to remind me my past, because I haven't really thought about my grandpa for a long time, you know. Now my talk all the time or newspaper, everything was about baking. So I forgot about the feeling, like when I walk to the bus stations, and that's just make me feels good. Like, you know, oh, I've been through so much.
Well, it's good to reflect on. Yeah. You know, sometimes we don't get a chance. We're so busy making our career, raising a family, that we don't get a chance to really reflect on, where have I been? How did I get here?
I'm 49 years old.
So you're 49, and you're just doing it here for the first time with me in this freestyle. Well, it really strikes me that just how much determination, because you were smart enough to look for mentors, but you couldn't. It took you a long time. You tried person after person, even the female pilot that you thought would be your role model. So your parents didn't know how to help you, or your teacher actively discouraged you. So did the pilot. And yeah, just pushing through that uncertainty. I do want to get into the transition into baking, though. Where were you in your life or career when you started thinking about changing careers?
Honestly, I never thought about changing my career. You don't understand how hard I worked to become a professional pilot. And I've been in the aviation industry 25 plus years, and that was my passion. I don't know anything else except being a pilot. So it's become my identity, who I was or who I am. And I was very comfortable represent myself and start being in a position where I can give out to the next generation all help that I can give to the next generation aviator, right?
Yeah.
So I never wanted to leave aviation. However, life is very interesting. I never thought about married. I never thought about having the kids, but I met somebody. And he's also a pilot. And when I met him, I expressed my desire to continue my career until I die, probably. And he was like, okay, maybe I'll stay home, Dad, and you can keep working. And I was like, yes, I got the jackpot. I met somebody who let me work, and he's going to take care of our family. What else I could ask for? And 1 year later, our first son, Riku, was born. Moment he was came to my life, pilot Miwa disappeared.
You didn't see that coming?
No, I did not see that coming. Nobody else, probably none of my friends or family or my husband. I adore him, and I wanted to stay home. I didn't want to go back to work, but I did go back to work. You know, that having the two airline pilots in the household was a little bit of juggle, and we didn't have the grandparents to help us, so we just a single family household. It was me and my husband, we schedule, juggle around, shifting around, make sure that one of us can stay home. But, you know, airline industry is a little bit tricky industry. Like, you know, we have a schedule to come home, but could be airplane broke, could be weather, mm-hmm. could be anything happen, and then we stuck some different airport and we won't be able to come home. And happened to me probably 3 times when Riku was very, very small. And I start wondering, what am I doing, you know? Like, I love my job, no doubt, but at the same time, the Riku was most priority for me. And my husband is getting to where the he can move on to the major airline as well. So there's a lot of changing happening that moment. I thought I knew, but I didn't know how tough to raise the child having a career at the same time. When I was single, I used to be enjoying being in a cockpit, flying, chatting with crews and chatting with customers. But all I was thinking when I was cockpit is how quickly I can fly this airplane and get back home. How quickly I can land this airplane to the Medford Airport. That's all I was thinking. And I started laughing myself like, wow, I changed so much. My priority no longer being a pilot anymore.
And how old were you at that point?
I was already 40 because I had my son like late 30.
Okay.
So I spent quite share of my lifetime being in aviation. So being said so, fair enough for me to be able to say I did what I wanted to do. And maybe it's time to slow down and let go. My first passion being the aviator is maybe take a break a little bit. Everybody else does. Then my daughter was born. Then I want to quit that moment, having the 2 kids. It was the moment I was too much for me to leave the house and then coming home and my husband leaving and then just not really as a family, it didn't really work out. We always missing one person, you know, me or him. And I don't want my kids to growing up like that. You know, we want to have 2 parents same time.
So much is modeled by 2 parents interacting together, even in front of their children.
Yes, and then I had a luxury to be able to do so because I had a husband and he can help me to raise the kids together. You know, if I didn't have, I was a single mother or something like that, I probably have to have a different life path. But I was luxury to do those kind of lifestyle, then why am I not doing it? And I would start questioning myself, my choice. I think that was 2021 or so when I started thinking about leaving the airline industry. And I was lucky enough to get a job offer, the local airport, the private jet, the job here in Medford. So I was be able to still flying part-time at the private jet pilot and then enjoy being stay home most of the time. Then 3 months passed, I start feeling nervous, not having the job. Be working for a long time, having a career, then stay home mom. I enjoy first probably 6 months or so, but now I start doubting myself again. Mm. What am I doing? Like, don't I have to work? Like, don't I have to bring some income to the household? Or I start thinking, am I contribute to the society? I don't know, I'm just being a mom is the toughest job. Maybe I was seeking some escape from the reality of being a mom again because it was so hard for me to stay home even though I wanted to stay home because I used to be able to interact with my coworkers, customers. I felt like a feeling of belonging to the society. Then when I started raising 2 little kids, stay-at-home mom, I probably start feeling isolated from society.
Sure.
And start doubting myself. What did I do? Did I make a mistake? Did I make a bad choice of leaving the career that I really wanted to do ever since I was a little girl? But pandemic happened and a lot of people stay home and communicating with the social media. And I start looking at a lot of people doing the stay home baking.
Right.
And baking has been my passion for a long time. And ever since I was little, I'm always baking. I'm always baking to my friends and families. And then when I came to this country, I was only 17, 18 years old. And neighbor grandma showed me how to bake a country loaf bread, like American style. Mm-hmm. And that was sensational for me. Like, you know, she just made from flowers and waters and yeast. That was a very good memory of me. And so I've been baking ever since in this country and learning, always like improving, trying to gain the skill. Then I become a pilot, right? So I travel a lot and I see a lot of different style of baking all over the world. And I just fell in love with the smell of fresh bread that you cannot taste from the store-bought. And I decided to mimic, like create myself to do the same kind of the taste that I tasted from different overseas and wanted to provide to my friends and family and things that I love. So I study a lot during the pandemic, and then I was sharing the bread, and my husband said, I love your baking, but one thing I'm missing is sourdough bread that I really love, but I can't really find the sourdough taste that I really likes. Can you try it? Practice. And I was nothing else to do during the pandemic, so I practiced a lot sourdough. And I've been doing the sourdough before, but I never really good at it enough to be able to sell it or to share with my friend. But that's when I really study hard. And then when I using somebody else's sourdough starter, never really succeeded very well. I don't know why, probably the sourdough starter coming from the different regions. But when I started my own starter in my house, that's when my sourdough bread become amazing flavors, amazing rise, amazing texture. So I kind of got very proud of myself creating something in the air to correct all the lactose and yeast, everything from the nature, just the water and the flour mixing, and then creating this amazing bread was a very proud moment for myself as right. a baker. Then I start sharing my bread to people, and then everybody start order bread, but I didn't want to take money from my friend and family. But my neighbor one day told me, Miwa, if you don't take money, at least like ingredients cost, hard for us to order, hard for us to ask you to bake one for us, even though we love to taste your bread. We kind of like shy because I knew you were going to say, oh, just take it. You don't need the money. That's all you say.
Right.
That's the time I start thinking, people willing to pay money for my bread. So I was like, kind of like, there might be the opportunity for me to stay home mom and make some income. I started thinking so much opportunity and potential.
So part of that was your friend's honesty, let you know that this was something they valued and they wanted to honor your skill.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah.
Yes. So that meant me so much. And then that gave me another, you know, insight about potential. So when I start charging people the ingredients cost, that's not too much, but still something to cover my practicing bread, basically. Then a lot of people start asking, I heard about your bread. I heard about you are making a good sourdough. Can I pay you? And people start leaving the tips. And that's kind of start thinking, oh my goodness, people are willing to leave more money than that I asked for. And I was very, very surprised. But at the same time, that's the moment I was like, okay, let's do this. Maybe I can make that happen. So when I start advertising myself as a sourdough baker, farmers market organizers approaching me said that we need some good sourdough bread at the market. What are you thinking about selling at the market? So first I declined the wonderful offer because I had two little kids, and then I understand the market, it takes a lot of work because I have to be there, but I have to pick up my kids from the school. I have to drop them off. They have a music lesson to take too. So market idea wasn't really appealing to me, even though I really wanted to try out myself. Then Jacksonville Farmers Market reached out to me and they said, it's Sunday. And I'm like, oh, Sunday. I can do Sunday. Sunday, no school, no piano lesson, no guitar lesson. Also, Jacksonville was very close to my house. So it's only like 5 minutes drive. So I was like, this is something I can do. That's when I started 2022, seriously taking the role as a business owner and then taking this professional baking. And that's the time when I transit as a being a pilot to call myself as a baker. And I told my previous employer that I'm taking a break from the aviation for a little bit.
Okay. So at age about 46, you changed your identity, basically.
Yes.
After it being changed partly to being a mother.
Yes.
So fast forward to 2025, and you've gone well beyond that first sourdough that put your name on the map. I'm looking at pictures on your website, and when I pulled this up at work, I actually went, oh my gosh, out loud, because all these colors. For our listeners, I'm looking at French vanilla custard with fresh fruit puffy pastry, a blueberry vatrushka bun, a French apple pie. How many products do you currently have, and how can people find them?
It's very hard to tell how many products, because I'm always adding onto it, and I'm always like to try something new whenever I go travel overseas. At this moment, I have probably at least 12 products on site, and it's available over the online order. And then once again, I call myself custom baker. So I bake when you order. Everything have to be fresh. That's my motto. So if you order, I bake for you.
Okay.
So I don't have a storefront. That's the only reason that I don't do is storefront. You have to really have to plan ahead, and you have to bake ahead of time.
And you have to have a presence. So that gives you less flexibility to be at home, to be your kid's chauffeur.
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Right now, I do pop up maybe once a month. Yeah, you can get the information from my website.
And what is your website?
SouthernOregonSourdough.store.
Okay. Before I let you go, I understand that your change of career hasn't just meant a lot to you and your family, but you've been meeting strangers, previous strangers, that your story has meant a lot to also. Can you go into that a little bit?
So what I like about my career change was that being a baker, I was be able to communicate with customers a lot. I met so many wonderful people throughout the years, especially at the farmers market. People come to me, say, you know, talk, chat, and asking me who I am. When I told them I was a pilot, I am a pilot, they are very surprised, and they like to know more about me. So we chat, and that was kind of like fun time, and I really cherish that kind of communications and encounter with my customers, because being a pilot, being a cockpit, it was kind of isolated, and I guess I'm a more people's person, and I enjoy talking to other people. Another thing I really enjoy, people approach me and share their stories. For example, one of my customers, she shared that she was a doctor, and she worked so hard to become a doctor. And once she became a mom, she had a little bit of a doubt about being away from her daughter, and she decided to stay home mom. And she wasn't quite sure that was the right choice. When she was talking like that, I immediately connected to this lady, and I almost tear myself feeling somebody who understand what I'm going through. And she felt the same way about me. So we kind of bonded. And leaving the big career to the second career, which is being a mom, which a lot of people wondering why we do it. But there's a meant to be as a woman who become a mom. And I think the instant connection to their own kids. And I think the love creates the dramatic energy to drive yourself to the different side of yourself. And we both agreed that leaving the career wasn't so bad. And one thing she asked me that I found another passion, which is baking. And she was asking, how did I do that? And I just told her that I just felt like it. I just felt right thing to do for that moment. And I wasn't sure this become a career or not. I wasn't really meant to make it career. But if you believe yourself for something that you felt right at that moment, instead of just wondering what if, why don't you try like I did? It's maybe easy for me to say it, but I felt like I just wanted to try. And it doesn't hurt me, nothing to hurt and nothing to lose. I just want to try it out to see if I can make this work. And then luckily, this works out very well with me and my family, and I'm very happy about it. So I advertise my social media about my life path. And one of the gentlemen approached me the other day saying that he is very successful businessman and he ran the business, but he's has been into the aviation ever since he was a little kid, just like I was. And he kind of like joked around that now I am taking the lesson because you gave me the idea of what if, why not? Try. So when he sent me the email like that, I'm so happy, you know. It's like he also like joke about like you know, it's opposite, like, you know, I leave the aviation to become a baker or businessman, and he was saying that he was a businessman and he's going to into the aviation. So it's the opposite path, but the same concept. And I'm sure there's so many people out there wondering, just like I did. But I think it's connecting to other people who went through the same thing, give you the very warm feeling of you're not alone. And leaving a big career that you are once passionate about doesn't mean you have to be in the career forever. It takes courage to leave whatever that you spend so much time and effort and money to leave for something totally different. But I'm sure your heart guides you because it did to me.
Miwa, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. This has been really inspiring and appetizing, I must say, as I look at these photos. Best of luck in your business.
Thank you so much. I truly appreciated this opportunity.